If you did not know, the poem In Flanders Fields was written by Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae. He was a member of the 1st Canadian Contingency, who died in France January 28th, later on in 1918, after serving 4 years on the Western Front during this war. And it's a poem that's read many places over the years so that people do remember that freedom is not free. Today, we talk about a basic remembrance of past sacrifices. We put a biblical perspective with a patriotic one, and we blend them together. They must fit together. Our nation displays many memorials to veterans of every war, from the Revolutionary War to present time. More are being added as time goes by, as you know, in our cemeteries. Headstones in cemeteries also leave us a place to go and honor the memory of our loved ones who have gone before us. And so we do. And this year, I imagine during Memorial Day weekend, many people will be planting flowers or placing wreaths at the site of someone they love dearly and they miss and want to let them know they'll never forget them. One of the things man must not do is forget God's blessings as well. We must remember how he's blessed us. It's very important that we get how much we are loved by him and what sacrifice he made for us. The children of Israel often forget, and forgot even at times, to thank God for his miracles, to bring forth their deliverance. In today's text, however, they would get a sign and would take heart that God would bring about victory to them in a battle that's yet to come. Look with me, if you would, in Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 24. It's the whole chapter. It might take a little reading, but bear with me. It's hard to tell an Old Testament story unless you read quite a few passages. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when the children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to the camp where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, ready for battle in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over the river. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and so that you might also fear the Lord your God. Now, friends, for Joshua, these words are quite a memorial. He's the last one that we are told of who survived the first parting of the water to now. He, better than anybody, knows what God can do and what he will do. And I tell you, he will always remember his whole life what God has done for him. And it will show at the end of Joshua that the people did what was right in God's eyes as long as Joshua and all the leaders like him were alive. They listened to God. They remembered his goodness, his greatness. You and I today must do the same for the rest of our life. You were saved from your sin. You were saved from death. You were saved from hell. And you were given new hope, new life, and a new heaven to dwell in because of what God has done for you. And we had better live as though we will never forget, because we have nothing without it, without that promise. People use granite, marble, quartz, limestone, and many other stones to mark the place they left their loved one's body. True, we've all done it already. The stones of Joshua would be a marker not only to remember, but realize it was a point of no return to the old life. It's a point of no return. Memorial stones are something that tells us that. Nothing's going back to the way it was, but you can remember what was good. That's what makes a stone so final, so clear to us, so defining. These stones are to actually mark a point where God promises his victory over enemies in battles to come and over death, as long as they would listen to him and trust him and follow his ways. So today, let's you and I remember with them three things that are important. These are three things you remember about your own life. I'll give you the three words right now. Decisions that you make to follow him and to let him be your Lord and Savior. You need to remember later on, because it's going to be easy to forget at times. It's going to be easy to give in. It's going to be easy to chuck it when life got too difficult or church seemed boring or you just simply let your faith drag in a mediocre way, if you let that happen. Let's pray we don't. Remember your past decision that he is Lord and Savior. For them, the main decision was that they finally decided to trust and obey God. That's what they needed to remember, that they decided to trust him, and not only that, but trusting meant they would obey him. Joshua 3:3-4 would talk about how they would be told to follow the ark across the river. They were commanded back then, and now we see in the next chapter they're doing what they were told. They're listening. They did consecrate or devote entirely themselves to the task of crossing into hostile lands, because that's what they would be. They did take up the 12 stones to remember this great day in their lives. The 12 stones would be a reminder of their new start, their new dedication, and their second chance to see God push back the water so they could cross in safety. It's kind of like we live today. Do it again, Father. Do it again. One more time, God. One more miracle, one more sign. Do it again. Many say this over and over in their lives. Father, if you'll just let me have a sign, if you'll just heal me, if you'll just heal my loved one, I'll know you're God, we seem to say. This moment in history for them was a reminder of past decisions they made but did not keep when they left Egypt. The stones should also remind them that God does keep his word, and he must have his way with them individually as well as a group. The Israelites decided to trust and follow Joshua and the Levites. Their decision would honor God. Today you are urged in hearing this part of the message to live the life you promised God when you made your decision in the past to follow him. That's you and me. That's how it fits in today for us. Remember your past decisions, and your greatest one was when you gave your life to Christ. You can't let yourself forget that every day you live and walk. And as the years from that day to now keep getting farther and farther apart, let him be ever close to your heart. That rhymes. How about that? Remember your decisions, especially that big one that you made. Then remember your past dedications. What did you promise him with your life? Anybody here ever make a deal? Don't really raise your hands, but just think with me. You ever make a promise to God that if he'd do this or this for you, you'd promise him you'd do this or this? There are times in our lives when we do that. And you know, a vow, an oath, a pledge is meant to be kept. Those words are strong. God originated them with his word to us. And if we dare make a vow to him or a pledge or a promise, we'd better keep it or don't make it at all. Your past dedications. Verse 10 says, now the priest who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. See, there it is, the dedication of the priests. By their example as the leaders, spiritual leaders of these people, they're saying to them, we're going to stay in the water, we're going to hold it high as you walk across, and the waters come to a close when we walk out as well on the dry ground. Dedication. And the people, the verse says, everything the Lord commanded Joshua was done by the people. You see, they couldn't just admire the leaders. They couldn't just look at them and say, we want an example, we want a standard, and then not live it themselves. Why does anybody want an example if not to follow? Follow. When you make a dedication of any kind and a promise and a decision to follow him, you can't just base it on what others are doing, whether or not the church is in line or the leaders are in line or other Christians are in line or your parents are. It will be your commitment, your life, your dedication, your decision. It's always been personal. Verses 12 through 13 show the dedication of the army to protect and defend. The dedication goes on in so many levels here with these people, to take care of what God has given them. Verse 21 shows the loyalty of the people to Joshua and God's will. At this point in their history, they're being loyal. They're remembering their decisions. They're remembering their dedication to him, and they're living it out. My friends, you and I know how fresh that is. We know how exciting that is. We know how it moves and invigorates us when people say they're a Christian and you can see it, and they never have to tell you. Right? The world wants to see this again. People who've dedicated their lives to Christ need to be living it every day like it was the first or it would be the last. But sometimes we fall short, don't we? Many times we don't remember what we promised God. We'll remember that we already decided he was ours, that we dedicated our lives to following him with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength. And then we get weak at best. Joshua 24, though, this is what I like, close to the end of his life. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 15, listen to what he says to the people close to the end of his life. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped before the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. And I love this because it's on a plaque in half your houses, I imagine. It says, but as for me and my household, thank you, we will serve the Lord. Fathers, grandfathers, lead the way. The battle is fierce. It's strong. It's a heavy one. The weapons are out there for the enemy as well as for our faith. There's a war going on in the spiritual realms now for your very soul, to take you away if possible, to steal you, to make you captive to the other side. But you have to have a basic remembrance of your past sacrifices. You decided at once in your life, at one point, Jesus is Lord and Savior. And you dedicate yourself to following him the rest of your life. That's what you said when you gave your life to him. This is why we don't take it lightly, especially when someone young wants to make that decision. And we question them so heavily. We should do that same with adults, to be honest with you. Just as much. Remember your dedication. Keep it strong, keep it true. And Joshua has made it very clear, even to the end of his life, my house serves the Lord. I never read that, and I've got them right now without getting goosebumps, because I've made that comment to my family a long time ago, and they make their own choices at times. And as adults, sometimes they don't always do what I want, and I have to admit, I don't always do what God wants me to do. But I'm on a journey. I'm trying to seek Him with all my heart, and sometimes it doesn't feel like I gave it all to Him on that day or a certain day. Maybe you felt the same, but I know whose I am. I know what I promise, and I want to keep it to the rest of my life. I want Revelation 2:10 to be true for me, that I remained faithful until death. Remember your past dedications. Today, you and I are being instructed by the Spirit to remember our promises, remember our pledges. Did He not sacrifice Himself that we would devote ourselves to praising and following Him who dedicated His all for us? Of course we did. We said we'd do that. That was our word to Him when we gave Him our lives. It needs to mean something today, just like it did back then. And it must for tomorrow and to the end of your life. So then I'll say one more thing this morning. Remind yourselves. Remember past doctrines. If I'm going to follow Him, if I'm going to honor Him, it's not just whatever I want to believe is okay. I will pick and choose. And God, if I honor You with this or this and skip this or this, it's okay. Because we don't make the rules. You and I don't make the doctrine. We don't sit back and get to choose how far we want to go with faith. We honor all of it or none of it. That's what they meant with the Ten Commandments, right? If you broke one, you broke it all. Okay, we live in the New Testament era and we think that's done away with. We don't have to worry about that anymore. It's true. We will fall and we will sin at times, but we'll be forgiven if we've given our life to Him. And we come to Him in repentance and prayer. We ask Him to help us. Doctrines. The 12 stones represented deliverance to the 12 tribes because of God's mighty works. They were to remember that forever. That was written in their hearts and in their minds. Never forget this. And the Jews are some people, I want to tell you, because they are learning as the centuries go on more and more and more to keep passing on the truth of what God told them and to their forefathers. And a lot of their stories and heritage still ring true today. They're being told, even if sometimes the other generation doesn't always listen wholeheartedly and doesn't always follow. They're still faithfully telling them what God has done for them. And so must we as Christians tell our children, our children's children, and pray that when there's a stone out there marking your name and your life has ended, that somebody you never got to meet in your family is still being told about the love of Jesus that great-great-grandfather or grandmother once lived. I know of nothing else I'd want for any holiday of my life, but for all my children to love the Lord and never give up on Him and always trust Him with all their heart. You know, a doctrine is anything God requires from you and your agreement to live within the confines of His stipulations. That's a simple way to explain it. When you remember His past doctrines, it's simple as that. Anything God requires of you is a doctrine. Anything you find in the Bible that's not been superseded by a new one. A doctrine is any law God deems necessary for you to live by. When you study His life and come to the place you are ready to accept it on faith, then you commit yourself to following it as a code of order or doctrine of your life. This is why we ask questions of people who are wanting to be baptized. This is why churches have new member studies to better understand what we interpret as God's will and His doctrine to live by, so that we make sure you know with all your heart the best we can what He's asking of you when you commit to Him. And this is why we are persecuted by those who cannot or will not accept His doctrines in the world and who would make fun of us. It's worth it. The struggles we go through are nothing compared to what Jesus went through for us. We'll handle it. We'll learn to each day. When we remember past decisions and we remember many people along the way will come and will wax and wane in their faith, they will fall away, they will slip away, and they will just go away, and etc. Sadly, this will happen because they have forgotten the doctrines they promised to live by, or they simply aren't going to keep their word to God, and they don't realize that's what they've done. It's the saddest day in anybody's life, my friends, and so would it be in ours if we allow it to happen. That's why we tell you to remember the past doctrines, to remember your decisions, and to especially to remember your dedications. These three words should be important for you today when you leave here. They might help you recall many things in life. Take time also by the same token to remember those who have fallen in battle or fallen asleep in the Lord. We keep them better in our hearts and appreciate their life. That's what we do when we remember. So will you remember always what Jesus has done? Will you remember always the loved ones you miss dearly? Will you miss Jesus more than that until the day you get to see him again and you see your loved ones again? The founding fathers wanted us to remember many things that several Americans don't want to forget, but many have forgotten today. Many have never learned, including our godly heritage. You know, a lot of the godly heritage was actually in the history books at one time and way back in school. I can remember seeing some of it in my book. But today we have to rewrite it because it offends. The faith offends too many people who want to have all kinds of ways to look at life. But let me just give you a couple quotes. One from our second president of the United States, John Adams, in 1756 said, "Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. What a paradise this region would be." John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, said, "It is the duty of all wise, free, and virtuous governments to help and encourage virtue and religion." He also said, "Only one adequate plan has ever appeared in the world." This is what our Chief Justice, the first one, said. "Only one adequate plan has ever appeared in the world, and that is the Christian dispensation." This is our country's heritage. This is why I tell you, because I want to keep those traditions of our country alive in our hearts and our minds, to remember there was a time, because this is just two of hundreds and even thousands of quotes, where our forefathers, our founding fathers, expected us to be a God-fearing nation, one God and one Savior, Jesus Christ. That was their intention for America. Don't let anybody kid you today. Don't let anybody lie to you, and don't buy it. Yes, there's room for others to live here, but they should see themselves as guests in a Christian nation. That's how we should be living. And our presence on down should be declaring that, if they've read their history at all. So, my friends, this nation is founded on Christian principles. Thomas Jefferson was grossly misquoted by those who advocate separation of church and state. His intent was not that they be enemies or strangers to each other, but that the state not interfere with the governing of Christian religious institutions. This is why I believe it is important to know American history, so we can appreciate where we came from and what we're intended to be. Too many people today are ignorant of our past and the great sacrifices it took to be a free and independent nation. And sometimes we forget about what Jesus did to set us free from this world, period. Two things I don't want to forget. This was meant to be a God-fearing nation, and if it weren't for Jesus Christ, I wouldn't understand that anyway, because he showed me by his life. Likewise, sometimes too many Christians either never learned or have forgotten what it cost to set us free from the captivity of sin and a certain second death. Jesus is to be the focal point when we remember where we came from. He is not a stone. Think about this. He's not a stone like the 12. He's the rock. He is the rock of our salvation. We must always remember that in America and in our own personal lives. Let's pray. We thank you, Father God, for many things, especially for making this a great nation. She can't always be, as long as we remember who you are and whose we are. Thank you for Jesus' blood, the blood that showed us that it does cost to find freedom. It does cost to live forever. It does cost for us to be able to have the rights we have today, and someone's paid the price. Let us not forget, Father, and let us be willing to pay the price by our daily walk, by our living sacrifice, and how we treat the world and ourselves, and how we treat you and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As our invitation this morning, I share a story of today. It's of April of this year. If you haven't heard in the news, there's a young man named Carter Brown back in April who was killed in a collision. He actually caused himself, unfortunately. Must have taken his eyes off the road for a moment and went left to center. And his name was Carter Brown. It was on April 15, 2018, grieving the tragic death of his 19-year-old son. The story is told this year of a Pennsylvania father who stepped up to accompany the young man's girlfriend to her senior prom in his son's memory. She didn't want to go to the prom after he died. She was not going to go at all and stay home on her senior year. But the father decided he would take his place if she would allow him to. So May 19th, a few days after the one-month anniversary of Carter Brown's death, was the night of the senior prom at James Buchanan High School in Mercersburg, Pennsylvania. I was kind of surprised before he asked me, and it was really, really heartwarming, the high schooler told the Daily Times. I didn't have to think about it. I definitely said yes. It was so great of him to ask me, speaking of the boyfriend's father. That evening, the Brown and Souter families gathered for a classic prom photo shoot as families before heading out in Carter's beloved sports car, an Audi TT, before the big dance. Souters and Roberts went out to dinner at TGI Fridays together, where the young couple had their first date to remember. Now, that may not make you teary-eyed necessarily. It's one of many stories. You've heard them all. You've read the news. And sometimes we get hardened instead of softened because of these stories are always being told as true. And this is another true story. So I will simply say this. I know another story that's even better. And you do too. Because while we were all sinners, at just the right time, Jesus came, gave up his life, and he died for us on the cross. And so when we come to church, you know what we do today? Just like these families did for their son, we remember what Jesus did for us. That's why we want to worship him, take communion, pray, reach out to others, and live the life. We're going to see our final prom someday, aren't we? Jesus is going to walk us down the aisle, the center aisle of heaven. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again this year, and say, Father, look. Here she is, my bride. We've come home. Satan and sin are defeated once and for all. The earth is overthrown. And now we're safe forever in your keeping. Your invitation today and forever will be, do you know Jesus? Have you given your life to him? And are you ready to walk down the aisle? Because he's calling. Let's stand and sing.